You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show right here on We Talk Radio Network.
I was taught years ago that if you live life with the spirit of expectancy, not only would you receive a harvest, but the thing you petition God for, expect it, and it shall come to pass.
Expecting great things, I'm expecting great things. I'm using my faith and
I'm expecting great things.
What are you believing for?
More and more,
more and more,
more and more. You an adrenaline junkie? Have you ever wanted to throw an axe, try your hand at archery, or just smash a bunch of stuff to smithereens? Oh. Then come embrace the rush at Endorphin Factory, the number one demolition room in Texas. Family owned and action packed. Our factory is your playground. Blow off steam in our state-of-the-art demolition rooms. Hit bullseyes on our interactive archery targets. Or just grab an axe and start throwing. Whatever creative outlet you choose, you're sure to have a smashing good time. Come release your stress and book your next rage room experience at Endorphin Factory for the thrill of a lifetime. Book your appointment today at EndorphinFactoryUSA.com.
I just want to write you a letter. I have to be very honest with you right now. I don't really know how to say this.
I wanna believe, but I'm having a hard time seeing past what I see right now. I see you right now. I wanna be free, but when I try to fly, I realize I don't know how. No one showed me how. Wish I could see that this mess I'm in will really work out for my good. You said it would. So, if you can hear me, can you give me a sign? 'Cause I don't feel you lying. Please, if you could. My faith is almost gone. I can't hold on much longer. Take this cup from me.
But if you choose not to, please.
Help me believe. Can I believe? Let me believe.
Close my eyes, on this side, I'll wake up with you, more in love with you. And finally, you will say my race, it is over and my work is through, Jesus, 'cause I believed in you.
There'll be no sunshine, and you're too far to see.
Good morning, everybody, on this morning. I want to thank everybody for spending your Sunday morning, a small segment that is of your Sunday morning, with Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, where we want to welcome you to come grow in the soil of God's love with us. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, thanking you for joining us again on this morning, and a special thank you to all of y'all that are listening to us on Facebook Live, that are listening to us on YouTube Live, that are also listening to us on We Talk Radio on the Shine Lord program, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. And I thank everybody for all of your diligence here. And I want to welcome you into the soil. Hey, we're in a series here. We talked last week. Remember, it was the first Sunday in 2022, and we talked about things being new. Remember, we talked about when things are new, they're fresh. We give it a lot of time, give it a lot of attention. We put a lot of focus on those things. But what happens when things are no longer new? How many of us in 1 week have started off with a resolution and maybe things have kind of slowed down a little bit? I want to encourage you to keep the gas burning, keep your foot on the gas, keep the fire lit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Continue to welcome the newness. And continue to strive for excellence in all that you do. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, we talked last week. Remember, we talked about Jesus, and he gave the disciples what we call the Great Survey. He gave this great survey. And one of the things he did was he went around and he asked the disciples. He looked at the entire group of 12 sitting around him, and he said, "Who do men say I am?" He wanted to get some feedback from them. Because after things are no longer new, at some point you need to find out, where's the mindset? Where's the focus? Where's the time and attention? I need you guys to know what's going on around you. So who do men say I am? Some of them said Elijah, John the Baptist, some other prophet, or somebody along those lines, but they did not know Jesus. How about that? But they did not know Jesus. After every miracle and everything that he did and everything that he showed them, turning water into wine and healing so many people, they still didn't know Jesus. Jesus wasn't concerned about that. Because then he posed another question to this group as he panned around. And he keys in on this one particular person. And he's looking in the eyes of this person and says, "But who do you say I am?" The "you" in this case is plural. He's talking to all 12 disciples, but he had one person in mind. And that person responded and said, "Thou art the Christ." And there's this deadlock, there's this eye lock that's going on between heaven, who's represented by Jesus, and earth, who's represented by Simon. There's this distinguished eye lock that's going on. And it's called the Great Confession, and it also leads to the Great Revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And at that moment, heaven begins to cheer and the angelic host begins to praise, and heaven and earth can now come together. And now there is a new level of work to be done because of the Great Confession. Now think about this. Peter, who's represented by, well, Simon at the time, represented by earth, he could have said anything. He could have said any God. There are several gods that are out there. He could have said anything. There are several people that he's been around. But he said something specifically that was spirit-led. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the," not just any God, "but the living God." There was distinguishment. There was something that separated this God among all gods. We're talking about the God that is the King of Kings. We're talking about the God that is the Lord of Lords. He's the great I am. The glorious God. And he could have said anything else, but he said, "You are the anointed one." That's what Christ means, the anointed one. And the Son of the living God. I want us to really understand what it was that Peter said in this moment. Because no one had ever called Jesus the Christ before. No one had ever referred to God as the God of the living God. We have to understand what this moment was during the Great Confession. And still today, we have to understand who he is, as we all have to have the Great Confession. And that is all that Jesus needed to know to confirm that flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it was my Father, the living God, my Father, Elohim, living God, the living God, Jehovah Jireh, the living God, my provider. It was God of all gods, the King of all kings that you referred to. So therefore, I'm going to call you blessed. I'm going to call you blessed. And not only that, now I've got a new assignment for you. So what he says is, upon this rock, because your name is now Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is who we are and where we are. Because one thing that I want us to know, we're going to put our first slide up on this morning. And our very first slide says that, here's what I want us to understand. Before God does anything, he first gives a revelation. He first gives a revelation. And if God said it, it is in fact going to come to pass. Because if God said it, his word will not return unto him void. So what happens is the revelation came forth, and then the work and everything else came to happen. And this is where we are right now in 2022. As you see up on the screen right now, our theme for 2022 that I am super excited about, we're going to be coming from Matthew this year. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot, even if it tried, prevail against this word. And what I want us to know on today, we are in a different word on today, but we're in the same word, because the word is the same yesterday, it is the same today, and it is the same tomorrow, and it will be on and on and on. But for this day, in this time, in this message, as you see up on the screen, we are in Upon This Rock, part two, following first, our gracious, heavenly, and beautiful Father, Lord, we thank you once again for just allowing us, Lord, to be used for your purpose on today. Father God, you continue to protect us. You continue to keep us under your hedge of protection, Lord, and you just continue, Lord Jesus, to show yourself strong. I don't care what variant is out there, because I know you are the ultimate variant. Your variant is real. Your variant doesn't have to change and deform and all that. It's the same yesterday as it is on today, Lord. And I want to thank you for your variant called the blood of Jesus that covers us, that keeps us, that washes us, that protects us. And I don't care what's going on around us, Lord, you're going to keep us safe and in your care, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just renew our minds, soften our hearts, open our minds, our hearts, Lord, so that we can hear your word, so that we can feed on your word. And Lord, I cancel every demonic distraction that wants to kill, steal, and destroy this word in the name of Jesus, because it will go forth and it will multiply. It will go forth and it will cleanse. It will go forth and it will transform the lives of those that you have listening to this word on today. In the name of Jesus, I feel your presence, Holy Spirit, and I am so ready to bring forth this word on today in the name of Jesus. For everyone, Lord, that is experiencing any sickness right now, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, every broken heart, I pray that it's mended. For every broken soul, Lord, be the potter and put it back together again. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you all for joining us on this morning. I want to thank everybody that is listening to us on every different platform, every way, shape, fashion, or form. God bless you and God keep you. In our message today, I just want to start off with, you know, one of my great mentors that I love to follow so much. And you guys will hear me talk a lot about John Maxwell, who's just such a remarkable person, written many books, just many speaking conferences. And he's a former pastor, and he just really believes in the transformational leadership of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that he says here is a great quote: a leader knows the way, shows the way, and goes the way. That is one of the most beloved quotes that I have from my collection of John Maxwell quotes, and that is: a leader knows the way, shows the way, and goes the way. And as I stated last week, and I want to thank y'all that have given me feedback as a leader of this organization and letting me know what's been dear to you about these messages. What quotes and what things have the Holy Spirit spoken into your spirit? You're giving me that feedback back. And I just love that, because I love to see how God is blessing you. I love to see how God is working in your life. And if it's something that we're saying here from this message on today or any of our messages, just letting me know what stuck out to you is something near and dear to me. And I'm going to continue to ask you, share with me. Take notes, listen to this, because I want to know that this is working in your life. I want to see that we're applying these things into our life. So send that to me either through DM or email or whatever it is, because I want to know what stuck out to you, what changed your life, what's penetrating, what's growing, what seed was planted in your soil, and how is God doing a wonderful thing in your life by the way of these messages. Now, as I stated last week, if you're leading and no one's following, you're just taking a walk. You're just going on. Everybody's behind you, but nobody's following you, because there is a disconnection. But what I want us to understand is that God is the ultimate leader of all of our lives. And if we follow him, he will lead us into a path of righteousness. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to know and what I want us to understand is, now, because he's leading, he still gives us a choice. And we don't have to follow God, but it is a choice. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day who you will follow. But I want us to understand here, we can just get by and just live a standard life. We can get by and we can just kind of live a comfortable life, and we can stay in the confinement of this world, and that's A-okay. But I do want us to know we do have a choice to live in the righteousness under the eyes of God, if we accept him leading us in our lives. This morning, I was blessed to hear a small segment of Jack Graham this morning. And one thing that he said that stuck out to me this morning as I was getting up and going over my notes and really getting prepared for this message, he said something as I was listening to him in the background. He said something. He said, you know, it's not enough just to be saved. He says, being saved, he says, that's just the starting point. It's not enough just to be saved, but it's about the abundance that we step into. Because when Jesus came, he didn't come just to give us life, but he came to give us life more abundantly. But we have to follow the principles of God so that we can step into the abundant life that he has for us. Because again, it's not enough just to be saved, but what are you doing while you're here? What flavor are you adding to this world? Because we are the salt of the earth, and salt does many things, but one of the things it's supposed to do is be a differentiator. What are you doing to be different in the life that you are living? Now, as I mentioned, the best leaders are the best listeners. And what I want us to understand is this is why Jesus gave the disciples the great survey. But also, as you see our next slide up on this morning, the best leaders have mastered the art of following. The best leaders have mastered the art. Following is an art, folks. Following is a craft. Following, there is art in following. There is a way to follow. And great leaders have mastered the art of following. Now, what I want us to know is it's not so much about when Jesus gave this survey, it wasn't so much about him listening to the feedback. But what he wanted to do is he wanted to listen to who they were listening to. It was a deeper form of listening. He wanted to hear what they were hearing. He wanted to listen to what they were listening to. Because what he wanted to understand is a lot of your level of following has to do with what's getting on the inside of you. It's something clogging up your spiritual plumbing system. Is there contamination that's getting ready to affect your level of listening? So it wasn't just so much about what they said, but he really wanted to know to determine what's really penetrating their life. What's really having an effect on their life? What are they really listening to? Because I need to understand that this group that I handpicked, I need to know what they know, and I need to know what they understand, and I need to know that they are in fact still following the leader. So before Simon gave, during this miraculous moment here of the great confession, before Simon gave the great confession, he first had to master the art of following. Remember, as we said, the disciples, they followed Jesus for 3 years. It was three dynamic, impactful years of ministry before Jesus ascended up back to the heavens. So they had to master the art of following. And I say all the time, we don't give the disciples credit enough for being so diligent and sticking with Jesus till the end. I know that Judas has a bad rap and we understand what Judas represents, but one thing that I'll say is he at least followed Jesus till the end. He fulfilled his purpose. He did what he had to do, and I'm not trying to give him credit, but I am saying he followed him to the end. How many of us can follow things through till the end? Do we give up? Do we quit? Do we throw in the towel, or do we stick to our name is called, to our purpose is fulfilled? And that's what I want us to understand. So Peter had to, and I'm going to say Simon, right? I'm going to say Simon and Peter, Peter and Simon. Just know that I'm talking about the same person because we know that there was a great name change, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But as Simon, during that time, he had to follow Jesus for 3 years. And there was an art that he had to master for following Jesus. Now, before he gave this great confession and before he mastered during the time, he was mastering the art of following. This is what I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes when we don't master the art of following, we wonder why sometimes we don't get promotions. We wonder why sometimes is it just, I can't go to the next level and I can't become promoted or I can't excel on to the next level. Sometimes it's not all about just being passed over. Sometimes it's not all about just being overlooked or whatever the case, but you have to know yourself. Have you mastered the art of following? Are you, let's just take the workplace for an example here. The Lord is going to be dropping all kinds of dimes, so I want y'all to just stay with me during this message. Are you the one that follows the leadership, or are you the one that gets in cliques? Are you the one that gets little cliques together and now we kind of have our own little rebuttalment against management? We have our own little rebuttalment. We've got our own little clique and we've got all these issues and problems. And so therefore, we haven't mastered the art of following, because in cases like that, we're too busy trying to have our own way. We're too busy trying to do things a different way. We're too busy caught up in our own ways and our own passions and our own desires that we haven't bowed down and humbled ourselves before the Lord so that he can exalt us. Have you mastered the art of following? In other words, is following first? So Simon, he mastered the art of following and he began to continue to grow in his followership, because here's the deal. Once you become a leader, here's something that I want us to understand. And this is another great quote from John Maxwell. We don't have a slide up for it, but I want you to listen to what I'm saying here. You cannot give what you do not have. That's right. You cannot give what you do not have. Okay. So in other words, until I learned how to master riding a bike, I did not qualify to teach someone else how to ride a bike. Because now I'm teaching something that I have not learned and mastered myself, which is a recipe for dysfunction. So you cannot give what you do not have. So you cannot lead until you've learned how to master following. How can you teach people the art of following if you haven't mastered following? Because here's a note that I want us to understand as we see the next slide up on this morning. You must first be the student before you can be the teacher. You must first be the student before you can be the teacher. When you learn the lesson first, now you can teach it. This is what wisdom is all about. This is why we can tell some of the younger ones, hey, listen, I've been 25 before. I've been where you're trying to go. Remember that old saying, right? I've done things that you're getting ready to experience. I've kind of gone through that. And for you younger people out there, if you learn to respect and learn to evaluate and appreciate the wisdom that's coming to you, it can save you a lot of years and a lot of heartache and pain. Learn from us that have been there. Learn from us that have experienced things. Learn from us that have been down that road, and it can save you a lot of heartache and pain. But you first got to be the student before you can be the teacher. And once you learn lessons, you can now teach lessons. This is what you have to do first. This is why you have to learn first. As wonderful and glorious and mighty and magnificent that we know that Jesus is, he spent 30 years learning, following, learning, being a student, learning, growing into his calling before it was time for him to move off into three dynamic, impactful years of ministry. You cannot give what you do not have. How do you guys think? Let me just kind of divert a little bit. How do you think that he was able to be so ready and be so ready for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the different scribes that wanted to try to twist him up and try to contort the viewpoint and try to destroy the light that he was shining? He had to learn what it was, the way that they saw things, the way that they taught things. Therefore, he could say, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. These are some of the things. These are the benefits of learning. And these are the benefits from following first, because you have to be the student first before you can be the teacher. And he had to learn those things before he could teach those things. That's what I want us to understand. Now, here's the significance of being first. Okay, first has some significance. Learning first allows you to be able to teach. So first has some significance. First can represent the best. First can also be the foundation. First can also mean the most valuable. First can also be the most desired. Let's just take a look at professional sports on today. A lot of us saw the Dallas Cowboys hang about 51 points on the Philadelphia Eagles and all that good stuff. And I get it. And I'm proud of it and all that stuff. But the real test is going to come playoff time. The real test is going to be next week. The real test is going to be when you play a team that's at the same level and caliber of you. So what are we doing first to position ourselves for success? So just take a look at professional sports on today. When it comes to drafting players, so to speak, all the focus and all the attention is on the players that are drafted first. It's all about that first round draft pick, whether it be football, baseball, basketball. It's all about who's first, because there's value associated with being first. Those that are drafted early in the draft, first round draft picks, first one, two, three, four players, whatever, are usually the highest paid players, at least coming right out of the draft. They are the highest paid players because there is value on being first. They are usually one of the main faces of any sports franchise, so therefore their significance in being first. Now, in a more spiritual sense, God is the face of this franchise called life. God is the most valuable player on the team of life. This world that we live in is built around the star player called God, and God tells us through the Bible that he is to be first. He says it like this: in the beginning, God. That means God was first. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He also says, like, he first loved us, so therefore we must love him. There is indeed something unique about being first. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what Jesus understood as he transitioned from skilled carpenter to transformational leader. He held a draft pick to pick the players on his team when it was time for him to step out into ministry. Now let's read about the significance about who he chose first, because we don't all the time understand that there is something significant about being first, so that we can now better understand the purpose of our message on today, which is significant to following first. So, you know, we've got our analogy here. We talk about the Bible, right? We talk about the Bible as being broken out into two halves. We've got a left hand, which is represented by the Old Testament, which are the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. And then we've got a right hand that is represented by the New Testament, which is represented by Matthew through the books of Revelation. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were four of Jesus's draft picks. Okay? They were the disciples. Okay? They were chosen to follow him first. But even deeper than that, I want us to go into in the New Testament here. Open your books up to St. Mark, and that is in the New Testament, and we're going to put it up on the screen here. We're going to come from Mark, and I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, and we're going to read Mark 1, right, verses 17, and I want us to read it together here. It says, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. He said to them, I want to talk about that them. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. He was talking to a couple of fishermen. He found them where they were. And one of them was a guy by the name of Simon. Simon was first round draft pick on Team Jesus. This is Jesus now recruiting to build his team. Because when God is building something through us, we have to have a team. As I've stated before, it was never meant for us to carry forth God's plans for our lives alone. So therefore, there is significance in being a part of a team. On a personal note, this is one of the hardest lessons that I myself have learned in my life. Because me being such a go-getter and so driven and just so passionate about getting to where I need to be and where I feel I need to be and all of that, sometimes I know what it's like to be that leader that's just going for a walk and no one's following. I cannot give what I do not have. So therefore, if I didn't learn these lessons first, I cannot teach these lessons. I know what it's like. I've had to learn the importance of a team. I've had to learn the importance of allowing other people to be a part of that mission and that plan that God has for you. Because again, it was never meant for us to be alone. God did not allow Adam to continue to stay alone. Therefore, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. We all have to have helpers to get where God wants us to be. So what I want us to understand, I had to learn this lesson. And as King Solomon tells us in Proverbs, in all of our getting, get understanding, gain knowledge, learn from your lessons, learn the importance of following, because you need these things first before you can go to the next level. Now, more than ever in my life, I understand the importance and the significance of having a team. Now, Jesus, in his great wisdom, he chose his team first. He built up divine strength by being tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights. And then he set out to pick his team. He built up his strength. He said, devil, you come give me your best shot at my weakest point. Because remember, the devil did not really attempt Jesus. He didn't really tempt Jesus until after the end, toward the end of his fasting period. He wanted to get him at his weakest point. He wanted to come in with the kill shot. He wanted to get him when he was at his weakest form and at his weakest point, because the enemy doesn't fight fair. The enemy is a dirty fighter. The enemy will bite, scratch, and kick and do all of those things. And therefore, we have to put on the full shield of God, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt buckle of truth. And we got to be armed and prepared to be able to handle the enemy, because the enemy does not fight fair. But we have to be able to deal with him first. Here's what I want us to understand. His first round draft pick was a guy by the name of Simon. He wanted to make sure he had his foundation set first. Simon would later be named Peter. And we're going to talk about that as we're talking about, upon this rock, I will build my church. But Simon was chosen first. And we understand Peter, after his name was changed, Peter in the Hebrew means rock, which is the theme of us building our church this year. So Jesus and his beautiful carpentry mindset understood the importance of a foundation. He says, I will go away and prepare a place for you. This is that carpentry talk coming from our Holy Lord, our Heavenly Father. He learned those skills first. He understood the importance of a foundation and how a foundation must be made of a solid rock. Therefore, he knew what he needed on his team. In sports, some teams know that they're lacking in the quarterback position. Sometimes some teams know that they need an offensive lineman. They need a defensive tackle. They need someone in the secondary, a safety or a cornerback, or maybe you just need a running back or whatever it is. Maybe you need a kicker or two. But when you know where you're going to go, this is why we say a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Jesus knew the very first thing he needed was a foundation. And it needed to be made out of solid rock. When Jesus approached him, talking about Simon, when Jesus approached him, and Simon's brother was out there with him too, but specifically Simon, when Jesus approached him, he said, follow me. There were no ifs. There were no ands. There were no buts. There was no rebuttal. There was no what I can't do. There was I'm too weak. There wasn't any of this. Simon followed. Because I say all the time, he went to where they were. Jesus will come to where you are. Whatever state you're in, whatever situation you're in, whatever situation that you find yourself in life, Jesus will come where you are. This is why the word of God, it lives through us. It speaks to us and it meets us wherever we are. Because if he can find a fisherman on a boat and take the skills from a fisherman and say, not only are you going to fish, we're going to get past this balance sheet. We're going to get past revenue. We're going to get past all the fish that you're going to be used to feed people. I got some fish out there that I need for you to fish for. I got some fish out there that I need you to be hunting for. I got some fish out there that I need your skill set to help recruit and to help build and to help reach all the corners of the earth. I've got some fish that I need for you to fish. So therefore, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, meets us where we are. The Word of God will meet you where you are spiritually. So what I want us to understand is spiritually, when the Bible says, come as you are, he's asking you to come and follow him however you are. It's not about wearing a t-shirt and jeans and so therefore I can go to church like that, because the Bible say I come as you are. What he's saying, spiritually, whatever mental state, whatever physical state, whatever state that you're in, you come as you are and I will do the changing. Don't try to clean yourself up before you step into the car wash. Don't try to clean yourself, heal yourself, fix yourself before you come in. You come as you are and I will take it. From there, you have to learn how to follow first. And what I want us to know and understand as you see the next slide that we're getting ready to put up here is there is a process of following that has to happen before the ingredients of the foundation can be combined. Jesus chose the ingredients of his foundation. He chose the ingredients of what needed to be built first. He chose the ingredients of the foundation. He chose the ingredients of what was needed first, because any great cook knows that he's got to shop for the groceries. Any great cook knows that he or she needs to know what it is, because they know the flavor. They know the texture. They know the content. They know what it is that they know, because a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. So therefore, I know the ingredients that I need for my foundation. Holy Spirit is showing out this morning. I just want to thank God for it. I just want to give God a praise break this morning, because he's on fire. He woke me up with this on fire. He woke me up with this. He just kept giving and kept pouring and kept giving and kept pouring. I have to tell my team this morning, I'm a little bit behind, because the Lord kept pouring. We're going to talk about pouring here in just a little bit, but I'm just so excited about what God is doing in this day and in this time. Jesus chose his ingredients because a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Rock is another word for cement. Let's talk about rock for a little bit. Let's get a little geographic. Let's get, what is that, geology. Let's kind of get into the sedimentary form of the world and the globe and all these things. Rock is a form of cement. And when we're laying most foundations today, we use cement. Now, a lot of you know I'm in portable sanitation and waste and recycling and all those things. I've been in it for nearly 20 years. And so I've got a special niche for understanding construction. Okay, I understand the significance of construction and the skilled trades and that whole aspect of things here. And one of the things I want us to know is you can go to any home improvement store, such as a Lowe's or a Home Depot, and you yourself can create rock. You can buy a bag, and as you see on the screen right now here, there's this bag of this mix. There's a bag of what I want to call ingredients that's called Quikrete. And Quikrete is the granular form of concrete. As you see on the screen there, Quikrete is a granular form of concrete. Now, anytime that there is a transformation of substance here, what I want us to know is we got another slide here that I want to pull up here. I'm going to get a little scientific, right? I'm going to get a little scientific on you. There's this thing called the state of matter. It's called the state of matter. There's liquids, there's gases, there's solids, and then there's plasma. You know, there's a four states of matter. So there's this thing called a transformation of substance when it comes to things going from one substance to another substance, okay? Ice is one of the more familiar ones that we know. Okay, it becomes, it's a liquid, it's in its liquid form, it's water. And then when you apply a lack of heat, right? Because let's go chemistry, right? There's no such thing as heat. There's no such thing as cold. There's lack of heat. I know you science buffs out there are like, what's this guy talking about, right? Yeah, there's no such thing as cold. It's all lack of heat, right? And the less heat that you have, it begins to over time transform its substance. It becomes ice. It becomes a solid at that point. But it can also, now the more heat that's applied to it, go back into its liquid form. Right? So this is what I want us to know here. Now, I'm no science specialist or whatever the case, but I got the basics down. And as a matter of fact, I love physics. Physics was one of my greatest subjects of all times, right? So what I want us to understand here is, now, according to Wikipedia.com, in physics, a state of matter is the distinct forms in which matter can exist. The four states of matter are observable in everyday life, such as solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. So anything, right, that contains mass, anything that contains atoms, molecules, anything here, anything that contains mass is going to be in one of the four states of matter. So let's go back to quikrete. We were talking about quikrete here, this stuff that we can put down to make our own rock, to make our own cement. So quikrete, and it's solid, it's a solid, but it's in granular form. When you buy that package, it's in granular form. Now we're going somewhere, don't you hang up and leave. We're going somewhere because we're about to hit the epitome of this message here. We're going somewhere. It's in its granular form until water, which is another form of matter, is added to it. All right, oatmeal. It's just a bunch of grounded up oats. And then when you apply water to it, it becomes more, it changes form, right? It becomes a little bit more of a substance. It becomes more edible, right? It's something about when you add water to something, it begins to change. When you add water to something, it begins to change. But back to quikrete. So let's go biblically with this here. I put that example out there. Now what I want to do is I want to connect these dots here, and I want to go biblically here about what's actually happening as we're talking about our theme up on this rock. So in other words, Simon is in granular form until Jesus, the living water, combines with him. And he changes him from quikrete to concrete. I'm going to say that again. Just think about that bag in its granular form. And when it comes in contact with water, then it changes into actual concrete. So Simon was in granular form. And when he came in contact with the living water, Jesus said, once you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. He comes in contact with Jesus, the living water, and then he becomes the rock. Because when Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, changes your name, things will never be the same. He will never go back to being Simon. He will never go back to being in granular form. He will never go back to just being that businessman fishing for fish again. Because Jesus changed his name and his life will never be the same. This is the transformation of substance that defines your purpose. How about Saul? Saul was in granular form. And in the road to Damascus, on his way to Damascus to go do more damage to Christians, he got in contact with the living water and his name changed from Saul to Paul. He will never go back to being Saul again. Because when you come in contact with the living water, your life will never be the same again. Now, Jesus did not say upon this powder, upon this granulated version, he didn't say upon this powder, I will build my church. He said upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, let's take a look at this next slide that I want you to see on this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you better know who he says you are so you can be who he needs you to be. You better know who he says you are so you can be who he says you are to be. If Simon hadn't left and followed Jesus, people would have still continued to call him Simon the businessman. They would have continued to refer to him as the little boy back in town and the little dude that did this and the businessman and all this for what they knew he was. But what I want us to say, this is why you don't let people define you. Leaders out there, you don't let people define you. Don't let people put you in a box, because what matters is who Jesus says that you are, because it's all about who you're connected to become. See, Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't concerned about what other folk thought about him when he asked, "Who do men say I am?" That wasn't the point. It was never about what they said. But for those that were handpicked, that followed him for 3 years, that he handpicked, that he drafted, especially the first round draft picks and everybody all the way to the last one that he picked on his team, what mattered to him is who they said he was. It's not about them. It's not about they. And some of us got to learn that we cannot live our life and do what God needs us to do and be when we're so concerned about them and they and what the people say. Who's saying this about me? Who's saying that about me? It's not about that. Who does he say you are? So stop letting folks that don't matter get the best of you. Stop letting people that you shouldn't be so concerned about what other people are saying about you, because the only name calling that matters is who he says you are. And when Jesus calls your name, your life, ladies and gentlemen, will never be the same. When Jesus calls your name, that means he's got a purpose for you. When Jesus calls your name, that means that he's doing something great through you in your life. When Jesus calls your name, that means that he's referring to you. He knows the plans that he has for you, those plans to prosper you, not to harm you, those plans to give you a hope, those plans to give you a future, those plans to give you a destiny, those plans to give you a tomorrow, those plans to give you an eternity, those plans that he has for you. You only need to be concerned about Jesus calling your name. What they said don't need to matter. What he says is the only thing that needs to matter. The living water. The living water. It's him that's living through you. Our body is made up of more than 70% of water. The living water. When you come into contact with the living water, your life will never be the same. This is the transformation of substance that took place when the time was right. Peter had to follow first. Peter had to master the art of following so that when it was time for the transformation to take place, he was in position and ready for his next move. But let's go back to concrete and quickcrete and all this stuff, and let's tie this together as I get ready to close on this morning here. We're going to put another slide up here that I want you to understand. Now, when concrete is being mixed, it's only mixed when it's ready to be poured. When concrete is being mixed, it's only mixed when it's ready to be poured. This is why you'll see the big concrete mixing trucks, right? The big, what we call gravel trucks, and the big kind of dump trucks looking, you know, I'm trying to help some of us understand. You see the big trucks out there and they've got this nice tank on the back of it, and it's a revolving tank. It's continuing to spin and all that. You see these trucks and they got the spinning that's going on, right? They're driving there, but the back of the tank, or you see in the back of the truck, right? It got this big tank on there and it's continuing to just spin and spin and spin. Those are called mixing trucks, okay? Those are mixing trucks. And what's happening is they are keeping that concrete in its form that it's supposed to be in. The tank on the back is always revolving. It's always moving. It's always revolving, because if that tank ever stopped moving, what's going to happen is that concrete is going to go through a transformation of substance. It's going to start hardening. It's going to start taking form, and it's not designed for it to take form inside the tank. So in other words, the transformation does no good if it starts to form prematurely. Concrete has a specific purpose. And because concrete has a specific purpose, and it's one of the most important purposes in the entire structural building phase, it has to be dispersed. It has to be poured. It has to be ready to come out when the time is right. Some of us in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop. We need to continue to let our tank revolve. We need to stop getting in the way of the tank revolving. We need to stop getting in the way of letting God do what he needs to do. Let God continue to be in charge of the mixing truck. Let God continue to be in charge of things that are evolving on the inside. Let God continue to be in charge, because what's going to happen is when the time is right, when the time is called, when you run into your great confession, when you run into your road to Damascus, the time is going to come when it's time for the concrete to be poured out. But what I want us to understand, we need to let it keep moving. We need to let it keep spinning. We need to let it keep revolving, because once it stops, then the transformation is going to take place. But I'm going to put another slide up here on this morning. I want you to understand, God will let you know when it's time for your concrete to be poured out. I'm going to say that again. God will let you know when it's time for your concrete to be poured out. Because see, listen, concrete, it can't be poured on just any day. If it's raining outside, that's not a good day to pour concrete. If it's snowing outside, if we got ice and temperatures aren't very favorable, that is not the day when you want to pour concrete. Okay? And then the other thing is, there is a team of concrete finishers that are standing right there with all their glossing material ready to take form and ready to smooth it out and make everything take shape the way it's supposed to. Because once you poured out your gift, once you poured out your destiny, once it's time for what's inside the tank to come out, there's going to be a team of people around that's going to help this concrete take shape so that it can support the foundation of the purpose. We need to let it keep revolving. We need to let it keep spinning. We need to keep letting it do what it do. It needs to keep doing what it does, because when God says it's time to now shoot the concrete out of the tank, there's a team that has to be ready and in position to now help it take form. So it's all about the right timing, and it's all about the right season. Your season right now just may be just revolving in the tank. Somebody else's season right now, it may be time for them to start pouring. Somebody else's season, maybe the concrete finishers haven't even been identified. Somebody right now is still in granular form. This is why you can't look at somebody else's season and say, Lord, why am I not? This is why you can't look at where somebody else is, because you don't know what team of concrete finishers they got set up for them. This is why you can't look at the person down the street and say, why isn't my chute backed in and ready to start pouring concrete into the form? You got to take your eyes off of everything else, and you've got to wait on God that is in charge of the concrete pouring in your life to tell you when it's time for your concrete to be released. This is why we have to master the art of following first. Because if we do things prematurely, the transformation will take place in a place that it wasn't intended to be. What if the concrete was poured out in the middle of a street, out in the middle of a highway? What kind of damage could that possibly bring to other cars and vehicles that come to find it? What if the concrete is poured or dispatched and it's poured into one of our major lakes or something like that? What kind of harm can it bring to our marine life and other things? And it's out of position, and then it causes more harm than it does good. We have to be in specific position when God says it's time for us to be ready, because concrete of all things, once it goes, it forms. Once it pours, it forms. Once it's ready, it's time for it to take shape right then and right there. So you have to pay attention and know what season you're in. If your tank is revolving, let it keep revolving. If you're in granular form, stay in granular form. If it's time to come in contact with the living water, it's time to come in contact with the living water. Whatever change needs to happen, just allow God to order your steps, because we have to understand the importance of following first. Now, I got a slide that I'm going to put up here real quick. I want you to see here. What I want you to know is, stay in the tank until it's time to be poured. Stay in the tank until it is time to be poured. When that time is right and it's time to be poured, And it's time to be poured out. God will reveal that time, and Jesus will change your name. He'll call you blessed, just as he did Peter. Because if you stayed in the tank until the time was right, then you're going to know when it's time for your purpose to take place. Now, as I close on this morning, my challenge for us on today is a reminder from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 and 9, as we see up on the screen here. Let us not get weary staying in the tank. Let us not get weary being in granular form. Let us not get weary when maybe the concrete finishers have not gotten identified. Let us not get weary and doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't sleep on the sheep. Don't sleep on following. Don't sleep on following first. Because if you just don't get weary and well doing, there is going to be a pouring season. If you don't get weary and well doing, there is going to be a season where you anointed king. Okay, tending the sheep right now, David, might be where you are. But one day, just they're calling you shepherd today, but tomorrow they're going to call you king. Don't look at your season for where it is right now. There is a pouring that's going to take place on time. Don't look at where you are right now. There is a transformation of matter that's going to happen one day soon. Don't look at your state and where you are right now, because something great is getting ready to happen. If you just stay the course, if you don't get weary and well doing, if you just stay in the tank and you just continue to allow that liquid form of concrete to do what it does, there's going to be a pouring season and things are going to begin to take shape. Things are going to be able to take transformation. That solid foundation is going to be able to take form. It's going to be able to support. It's going to be able to hold. And you're going to be able to understand your purpose. But don't you get weary, ladies and gentlemen, and well doing, because there is a due season if you just don't give up. Stay in the tank. Let God keep working on you. Let God keep shaking you. Let God keep spinning the tank. Let God keep making things revolve. Let God keep adding concrete finishes. Let God keep doing the framing work of your foundation. Let God pick the lock that you're going to get poured in. Let God do everything that he needs to do. And in due season, there's going to be a pouring. And when he does, he's going to say, blessed are you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Ladies and gentlemen, stay in the tank until he's ready to pour you out. Because once you pour it out, it is time to take transformation. Now, for somebody out there that feels that you've been in this tank for a long time, when is this ever going to happen? When is this season ever going to change? When is my life ever going to go to the next level? The tank is constantly spinning and you feel like you're not going nowhere. I got one last slide for you that I want to close my message out here on today. Our theme is Matthew 16 and 18. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to understand something about that. For something to not prevail against what Jesus is doing in your life, there is a lot of behind the scenes work that is taking place that you're not aware of. So as Jesus is doing all that he's doing behind the scenes, trust that he knows when the time is right. Your job is to stay strong. Your job is to do what God told Joshua, to only be strong and very courageous. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. If you stay the course, prosperity awaits you. Don't get weary in well-doing. Stay in the tank. And most importantly, don't forget, you got to follow first. Continue to follow God. Don't give up following God. Don't give up allowing him to order your steps, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Don't get tired of following first. Don't get tired of being in the season that you're in, because in due season, you're going to have a pouring out where your concrete is going to start taking form. And I just want to encourage you on today that I want you to understand, in this season here, there is going to be a pouring out. There's going to be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a pouring out of God's goodness and mercy. There's going to be a pouring out of dreams and goals and all these things that you have in your life. But right now, stay in the tank and remember to follow him first. This is what I want you to know. He is going to build that thing through you, but you must remember to follow first. Don't get distracted. Don't worry about what they said. Don't worry if you're in granular form. Don't look at somebody else in a different season. Don't look at all those things. What you need to do is be glued on where he is. And I'm here to tell you that at the right season, at the right time, he's going to build that thing. And hell is not going to be able to destroy it. Hell is not going to be able to tear it down. Hell is not going to be able to do anything with you. Hell ain't going to be able to do nothing with you, because upon this rock, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, and cannot prevail against it. Remember, in 2022, he will build his church through you, because you are the church and the church is you. I want to pray for somebody right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for encouragement. I pray for strength. I pray for longevity, Lord. I pray for that person right now that's just, maybe they're a little frustrated of being in this season of a revolving tank right now. For every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's listened to me, I want to encourage you to not give up, to stay where you are, because you're going to have a pouring out season one day. I want to encourage somebody that's tired of following and saying, hey, how long do I have to follow? How long do I have to be in this season? I want to encourage you to continue to follow first. Continue to keep God first in your life and all that you do. Continue to keep God first in where you are, because he knows the day. He knows the time. He knows when you're ready, because the leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And if you follow him first, he's going to lead you to becoming that rock that he needs for you to be. So I pray for encouragement, Lord. I pray for everyone that's out there that may be getting a little frustrated, tired, and all these other things, but just to continue to follow you first. For in due season, they will reap the harvest if they faint not, in the name of Jesus. And for somebody out there that needs to know the Lord, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day, with all the power, with all the glory. And I want to be a part of the church that you are building through me. Lord, save my life and help me to be effective in my life. Help me to be effective in everything that I do, because I want to live and serve you. In the name of Jesus, my life is yours. I'm out of the driver's seat, and I need you to be in control of my life, in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, and you believe that prayer, that's all it was. You just asked for forgiveness. You gave the great confession, and he gave you the great revelation. You, my friend, you, sir, you, ma'am, you, my friend, you, my son, you, my, who, hey, listen, you are saved. And I want to thank God for you. I'm clapping for you, because I know there is a transformation of matter that's getting ready to happen in your life. Regardless to what they used to call you, they're going to call you blessed. They're going to call you blessed, because they're going to know that that's what God is doing through you in your life. And if you just want to be connected to someone, if you just want to be connected to a church, shoot me a note here. We're getting ready to do something great. I am looking so forward to this year here. Right now, we're building our team. We're working with our team. We're strengthening our team right now, because we're going to be ready for you. We're getting all the glossing ready for the concrete forming right now, because this concrete is getting ready to come out the chute. This concrete is getting ready to come out. This concrete is getting ready, and we got to be getting things ready for you, because upon this rock, he's building this church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the most important thing. What you build, that it stands. It's not about being quick to build something. It's about having the quality of support so that they can withstand the test of time. The enemy throws fiery darts, and as I said earlier, he don't fight fair. So we got to make sure that our strength is strong. We got to make sure that the time is right. All right. So here's a good portion of our service right now. And I want to thank all of y'all, a special thanks to all of y'all that have been giving to our ministry. We had, and I'll go ahead and tell you, we had a record breaking, number of, amount of offerings received in 1 week for the first time in the history of this church. Listen, God is growing. God is doing some amazing things. So everything that you do to support this church, we thank y'all for it. You see the slide up here. Here are some ways to give, as you see the slide up here. And I am so excited, guys. We're growing. God is doing wonderful things. We are growing. We're able to be a part of so many things here on this morning. And throughout our community, giving is service. Giving is service. As I mentioned here, I meant to show you guys a slide. We are partnered with Operation Care. We're partnered with Operation Care, doing great things, teaming up with homelessness and helping homeless get back up on their feet. We're giving them job training skills. We're part of a community that's helping them to interview for jobs and job training and getting from the street up to their kingdom seat. Yep, they're coming from the street, going to their kingdom seat. And this ministry, everything that you do is being a part of that. So there are three ways to give. You see Givelify. You see the Givelify app on here. You can give through Givelify. You see zelleinfo.soilchurch@gmail.com. And then there's always the old school way. Okay. It's not the preferred way, but it is a way. Okay. P.O. Box 180972, Arlington, Texas 76096. Make that check payable to Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. I prefer a cashier's check, to be quite honest with you here. I'd rather be a cashier's check if you're going to go that route. But listen, make it easy. Giving is easy. There are easy ways to give here. You know, scan this code here and it'll pull up Givelify, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And also right here on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Make it easy. Giving is easy because guess what? He said, my yoke is easy. What we do about God is an easy thing if we follow him first. All right. So let's go ahead and close out. I thank y'all for tuning in with us on this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful word. I pray that somebody's life was changed on today. Somebody had a transformation of matter on today. I want to thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you for every seed that's been given into this ministry. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, Lord, in good measure. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. I speak a hundredfold return over every offering. I thank you for everybody that's listened to us on today. Lord, help us to all have a wonderful, successful week. Keep us covered under your shield of protection, Lord, and bring us back, Lord Jesus, to the next appointed time. And we thank you for all that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for spending this time with us on this morning. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. Y'all finish it. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Sometimes it feels cold. And you feel all alone, but hold on, better days are coming. It can be rough in this world. I know it ain't easy, but hang on in there. I know better. But just remember that better days are coming. Friends will leave you all by yourself, but don't.
all know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday. And you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us, to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit, so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, beat me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station, broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, We Talk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.wetalkradio.com.